Good morning, everybody. I'm Hayley. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. Now, some of these things you might already know, and some of them you'll be able to tell just by looking at me. But hopefully I have a few tricks up my sleeve, and I've got some things that you don't know about me, and a couple of surprises. So, I'm a 33-year-old female Caucasian Australian. I've never been married and I don't have any kids, although I do have a cat called Sadie. I'm not originally from Ballarat, but I have grown up living in country Victoria through most of my childhood. I'm the youngest of three kids and I'm the only daughter. I studied molecular biology at university in Adelaide, and then I did a year of honours, which was doing breast cancer research. I then did a master's course in theology at Ridley College in Melbourne. And currently I'm working two part-time jobs, one in Christian ministry with university students, and the other as a medical receptionist. I'm renting a unit here in Buninyong and I drive a fairly old Ford. But I have just bought a new brand new Toyota Yaris hybrid that I'm waiting to get built. I'm a Christian and I regularly attend Buninyong Anglican Church, even when it's online. And that sometimes includes my pajamas. This is my identity. And today we've got our final sermon in the topic, the short topical series that we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. And today we'll be thinking about our identity. Now there's a lot that could be said on this topic, and while we don't want to be here forever, so I'm just going to try and keep it short for us. A really good book on this topic is one where I got most of my ideas from, and it's this one, Known by God by Brian Rosner. It's really definitely worth a read. And I'm really happy to lend anyone my copy if you let me know, if you're interested in giving it a read yourself. So during my intro, I covered quite a few of the typical things that people mention when they introduce themselves to other people or when they speak about themselves. These things are called identity markers. Now, markers that make up our identity include the following things. Things like race, ethnicity and nationality, our gender and sexual orientation, occupation, family origin and relationships, culture, religion, physical and mental capacity, our age, our material possessions, and our own personality and character. We all have these identity markers, whether we notice or recognise them or not. Our lives consist of these elements and they impact on who we are. Some of these markers are things that we're proud of, and so we place more importance in them. For example, we might be proud of the job that we have, of our families, or of our amazing physical or mental capacities. So when we identify ourselves to others, we highlight these kinds of things. They're the things that we lead with, the things that we like to present as kind of our core identity. Some of these identity markers, though, we may not be so proud of, and so we downplay them or we even ignore them, especially when we're identifying ourselves to others. For example, if you're unemployed or you're divorced or you're unmarried. It's not that these things or any other things are bad. It's just that you see these things and you wish that they weren't a part of your identity. And so you just try to ignore them or you don't tell people about them. Aside from the significance that we put in on our own aspects of our identity, our culture and our society, well, it also weighs in on our identity markers. It informs our thinking about them. There seems to be sp- specific identity markers that at this point in time are seen as being positive or others that are negative. Some things that are popular to be or really cool to be, and others that really just aren't. So if I told you that I was a car salesman or a lawyer, I'd most likely be viewed by others in a negative way. This part of my identity might not be very popular with other people, mostly because of the connotations that come along with that. And you know, at the moment, identifying as Christian might not be very popular in a lot of circles either. On the other hand though, there are identities which are, you know, society currently celebrates or champions. And this is especially true when it comes to sexual orientation and LGBTQI plus identities. Our identity is not just the facts of who we are or the way that we perceive ourselves, but others also influence our identity. People can label others in negative ways and then focus on that, just repeating it until the person believes it, and then it becomes a part of their identity and who they are. For example, repeatedly being called an idiot or stupid, it will influence how you view yourself and what capacity you think you have. It will impact your identity in a terribly negative way. With all of these influences though, society tells us today that we can make up our own identities. We can craft them just however we like. American pop singer and actor Hailee Steinfeld, she sums up this view, popular view of thinking, in one of her songs, which is called Most Girls. Just going to read a couple of lyrics to you. It does relate particularly to the way you physically look, but it also applies, I think, to all aspects of our identity. So she says, "You know, some days you feel so good in your own skin, but it's okay if you want to change the body you came in. Because you look greatest when you feel like a queen. We're all just playing a game in a way, trying to win at life. Alternatively, I want to suggest that this isn't the best way to go about life. The identities that we create for ourselves aren't going to give us the satisfaction and security that all humans crave. And why is that? Well, it's because we build them on things that don't last, on things that change and things that fail us. But, spoiler alert, today we're going to explore an identity that never changes or fails. For Christians, we have an identity that's given to us by God through Jesus. And it can never be taken away. And it doesn't change or fail us. But we'll get to that a little bit later. For now though, let's think about the changing nature of our identity markers. Now, if you remember some of the things that I mentioned before about myself, it's easy to see how these things, well, they might change. What's true of my identity today might not always be the same in the future. Firstly, I'll get older. I'm not going to stay 33 forever. And with the aging process, as I'm sure many of you know, this will change things in my life, such as my health, what I'm physically able to do, and at some point, my hair colour. I might not always live in Ballarat or even in Australia for that matter. I might lose my job or change my job or get a promotion, which will change what I do, my occupation. While I'm not likely to change in terms of being Caucasian or female, although people do change these things, what these markers mean in our society will change during my lifetime. I mean, just think about, you know, the change that's happened, say, in the last 50 years in terms of what it means to be a woman. I might get married. I might have kids. And both of these would dramatically change my lifestyle, what I spend my time doing, and my priorities. Now these changes, they could be my choice, or they could be forced on me. We don't always get to choose what happens in our lives. So we can't really cultivate what we think is the perfect identity for ourselves. We can't always make what we see as that perfect identity happen. We can't bring it about. Although the world tells us that we can make up our own identities however we want, we're not in control of our lives as much as we think we are. We try to be, but so many things can happen. And so the things that we use to identify ourselves, well, they change. But why does that matter? People these days have much more capacity to cope with change. I mean, just think about what we've all gotten through this year alone. Think about how we've adjusted and readjusted and worked out again and again who we are, both individually, but also, you know, collectively as a community, as a country, as a world. The problem's not with change itself. The problem's when we invest too much significance into these changing identity markers. We look to them for our safety and our security and to understand who we are. But what happens when some part of our identity changes? Or we never achieve some aspect or part that we think should be a big part of our identity? For example, if our whole life revolves around our work, what happens if we lose our job or it's time to retire? Well, I've heard stories of men and women retiring and losing not just something that keeps them occupied throughout the day, but actually their whole sense of who they are. They can no longer identify someone who works in their given profession or their former profession, and so they don't really know how to identify themselves anymore. Another example is when marriage fails or a spouse dies. Without that other person, they feel adrift without that particular relationship that they've been using to define their life and who they are. For me personally, I tend to focus on my identity as a single person, and not in a good way. I want my identity to include being a wife and a mother, and I long for it in a way that actually borders on making it the ultimate goal of my life. The fact that these things aren't part of my identity can make me feel inadequate, or like there's something wrong with me as a woman or as a person, and that if I just had a husband and kids, then I'd be complete. I'd be the kind of person that I'd always wanted to be. You see, the problem's not with finding significance in your job, or your country of origin, or your marriage, or your skin colour, or your kids, or any of those identity markers. The problem's when we make it our ultimate significance. When it's the thing that defines who we are and how we identify ourselves in this world. When we do that, we put ourselves in a dangerous position. Because, as I said before, these identity markers change. They're not secure at all. And they can't give us security throughout our life. So when they fail, and they always do, well, then we're in crisis mode. We have to rethink our whole identity, and we're no longer sure of who we are and what our purpose in life is. So, if we shouldn't be making these things, like our work and our relationships and other identity markers, as the most significant part of our identity, well, what should we do? Well, the good news is that for everyone who trusts in Jesus, we have a new lasting identity. One that's not based on us at all, really, and things like our abilities or our skin colour or our gender. It's based on Jesus and what he's done for us. Let me explain a little bit by looking at the Bible passage that we read earlier from Ephesians. So Ephesians chapter 1, 3 tells us that it's through Jesus Christ our Lord that we have every spiritual blessing. I think it's really a bit hard for us to grasp exactly what this means, which is why Paul goes on to tell us and to help explain just some of what it includes. One thing to note from verse 3 though is that we've been given every spiritual blessing. This means that we lack nothing. We have all that we need spiritually, and honestly, we have a whole lot more than we can ever imagine. And the other thing to note from that verse is that the blessings come through Jesus. He is the only way to receive the things that Paul goes on to talk about. Not our efforts or our knowledge, but through faith in Jesus, in what he's done for us. So what's included in these spiritual blessings? Firstly, in verse 4, Paul says that we've been chosen. Those who believe in Jesus Christ have been chosen by God to receive his blessings. Now, I'm not going to get into issues of things like free will or predestination, even though they're mentioned here in this passage. These are whole topics themselves. And maybe if we have another series of topics like we've just had, you can ask for a sermon on free will or predestination. I think I might let Mark tackle those ones below. But what it does say is that we're chosen. We don't just happen to end up with these blessings, but rather God picked us. Before the creation of the world, God chose us. That is, those who trust in Jesus to be his. Before there was light and dark, sun, stars and moon, animals and humans, God chose you. And in choosing us, he loved us so much that, as verse 5 says, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. What this means is that, we aren't just some scraggly orphan kids that God puts up with. No, we're adopted into his family and we're treated as though and seen as if we're his own beloved children. Children that he actually gave up his own son's life to redeem us, to have as his own. And we're sons, no less, which means that we have rights as heirs and inheritors of his kingdom. And how is this all achieved? Well, verse 7 tells us that in him, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. That is his death on the cross for us. And the forgiveness of sins. You see, our best efforts, our greatest achievements can't gain us these spiritual blessings or this status. We can't earn or create for ourselves our identity as God's beloved children. Instead, through Jesus' sacrificial life, death, and resurrection, God graciously gifts us this new identity. He redeems us from our empty way of life, and he forgives us for the wrong that we have done against him. God gave up his own beloved son in order that we might be given a new identity as his children. And this identity isn't based on the things of this world, things that will change. It's based on Jesus and what he's already done for us. Now, earlier I said, that when others hear people saying negative things about them, it can impact them negatively and influence their identity. Well, I want the same to be true of us now, but actually in a positive way. God's promises are true, and he's always faithful to them. So when his word says that we are his beloved children, we can believe it. We can believe that we are loved, that we are chosen, and that we are adopted into his family. We have been given a new identity. But this identity wasn't given to us simply so that we could feel good about ourselves or bask in the goodness of God's love for us, although we can do that. Ephesians 1 tells us that God chose you for a purpose. In verse 4 it says that he chose you to be holy and blameless in his sight, to be people who live lives that reflect his own purity and holiness. And in verses 11 and 12, it tells us that you were chosen in Jesus so that we might be for the praise of his glory. Our identity as God's chosen ones, his children, is not to bring glory, praise and honour to ourselves, but to God. And the good news is that we have this identity now. It's not something that we have to wait for. We can be living out this identity today, tomorrow, and every day. When we first trust in Jesus and his sacrifice for us, we're given this new identity. To finish off, I just want to look at how this new identity as God's beloved children impacts us. Firstly, I want you to think deeply about whether this identity is the most significant part of your identity, or whether it's not. If you're not a Christian, not someone who trusts in Jesus, then I'd like you to think about the offer that we've talked about today. God's offering you every spiritual blessing. He's offering you a new identity that's safe and secure in his Son. He's holding out to you the chance to be his chosen, beloved child if you just trust that Jesus has died for your sins so that you can be redeemed and forgiven. That's what he's offering you. Are you willing to take it? For those of us who are Christian, who already trust in Jesus, I want us to think about what being God's child, chosen child, really means to you. Now, perhaps it's something that you've not thought much about before, and so all of this is a bit new to you. To those of you who are just discovering this amazing truth, I want you to embrace it. Please believe what God says in his word, that you are his beloved, chosen child. Perhaps you've forgotten the truth of your new identity because, well, you know, life just gets in the way. Or perhaps you have other identity markers that you hold on to with more significance and meaning. I want to encourage you to return to this identity and again, to embrace it, to make it your primary identity marker, as it's the only one that will never change or fail. Or perhaps you're right now at rock bottom. One of your significant identity markers has failed you, and you're in crisis mode. I urge you to firmly take hold of the unchangeable identity that's been given to you in Christ Jesus. Use it as your anchor in this season of change. And for all of us, we should give thanks to God for this amazing new identity, born in Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, so that we might be redeemed and forgiven and welcomed with open arms into God's family. Let me finish off in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've given us in Jesus. Although there is so much that we find hard to understand, I pray that you can help us to grasp, not just in our minds, but in our hearts and in our lives, all of the things that you have prepared for us. I pray particularly that we can grasp who we are and what our identity is as your children, and that you can help us to make that our identity, the most significant part for each one of us. Pray that you can help us to live out lives that are, worthy of this calling as your children. And we just give you all of the praise, honour and glory for this gift you've given us. We pray all these things through Jesus, whose name is glorious. Amen.